Good morning to you on this third Sunday in Lent. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy and peace be with you. We worship with Christians near and far, living and departed, old and young. God's word is for all of us. May it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We pray together, Lord, speak to us, that we may hear your word. Move among us, that we may behold your glory. Receive our prayers, that we may learn to trust you. Amen. The collect for today. Eternal God, give us insight to discern your will for us, to give up what harms us, and to seek the perfection we are promised in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's Gospel reading is taken from St. John's Gospel, chapter 4. It's the story about Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to Jesus, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews don't share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered Jesus, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then Jesus' disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you didn't labour. Others have laboured, and you have entered into their labour." Many Samaritans from the city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony, her testimony saying, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Saviour of the world." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Holy Spirit, touch my lips. Holy Spirit, touch our hearts and illuminate our minds for Jesus' sake. In today's gospel reading, we find Jesus arriving at Jacob's well, tired, thirsty and utterly vulnerable. It's noon, the middle of the day when the sun was at its hottest. Perhaps Jesus had hoped that he would reach Sychar before this time and find shade in a house there. Perhaps it's taken him much longer to reach Sychar, and desperately thirsty when he sees this well, he decides to stop. And as we heard, as he was sitting by the well, a Samaritan woman comes to collect water, and Jesus converses with the woman, asking her for a drink. Now to us, this might sound all rather normal, but this is St. John's Gospel, and we need to be alert to certain things and know that there are questions screaming out for us to ask. Why would Jesus have been travelling through Samaria in the first place? Jews and Samaritans didn't mix. It was as if there was an apartheid system in operation. Why was the woman collecting water in the heat of the day? Anyone in their normal mind would collect water at the cool ends of the day. So might there be a reason for her doing it at noon? For Jesus to talk to a Samaritan is one shocking thing. Bad enough if he was talking to a Samaritan man, but he was talking to a Samaritan woman on her own. It's a double whammy. And they talk. He asks her for a drink. He's desperately thirsty. To her, this is an astonishing request. She can't understand why he'd ask her, because she knows he's a Jew and that she's a Samaritan and a woman. The conversation continues and it reaches deeper levels. Jesus tells her that he can give her living water. What's interesting is that she doesn't dismiss what he says and mock it. She's genuinely interested. She obviously has a thirst for something other than just physical water. Does she think this living water will be the answer to all her problems? And that would include not having to come every day in the midday sun to collect water. It's a fascinating dialogue. And Jesus sees into her heart. He knows what she's like. He knows what her deepest needs are. He knows what she's gone through. So he goes for the jugular. He asks her to call her husband. And there the can of worms finally opens. This woman's life is a mess. She's had 4 or 5 husbands and is with another man who is not her husband. No wonder she tries to deflect the conversation and state that because Jesus seems to know all this, he must be a prophet. This woman, let's just have a think about her. Has she been abused by all these men and taken for a ride? Is she so desperate for love that she falls for any man who comes along? Is it more a case of she has enjoyed the pleasures of sin, which are just for a season? Is she a serial adulterer? We don't know. But she must have had something of a reputation. Was this why she fetched water at noon when everyone else would be inside their houses and when she wouldn't meet other people? Until that day when she meets Jesus. He diagnoses her deepest needs to get her life on track again, to get back into a right relationship with God. And she's ripe for change. She knows she can't go on like this and wants something better. And Jesus appears to be offering this. This living water will give to that woman something spiritual that nothing else can give. And as we read that story, we see how it transforms her and transforms her community. They meet the Saviour of the world and their lives are changed. Everywhere we look, people are thirsting for something. It might be money, fame, sex, company, popularity, love. And yet these things don't totally satisfy. They can leave us feeling that something is missing. We can also be thirsting for things to change, for God's rule to come about, for the wrongs in this world to be put right. Deep within us, we have longings and thirsts. This woman knew there was something missing. She was thirsting for something that would satisfy her and not leave her still thirsting. And Jesus offered to that woman all that she would ever need. It's interesting that in the text we read that the woman left behind her water jar at the well when she ran back to the city to tell others what Jesus had done for her. The leaving of the water jar could be seen as a symbol of her leaving behind her old life of bad repute and starting afresh. Sometimes we can feel there's something missing in our lives. Perhaps it's longing to have a deeper faith. Or for the Christian faith to come alive for us, rather than feeling it's a duty to come to church, and that's proving not to be life-giving anymore. Jesus came to give us life, making us truly alive, and so often the church can seem such a dead, unalive place. Or we feel unalive within us, and that's why we find it a dead, unalive place. If we want things to change, we need to turn to Jesus in prayer and ask for him to fill us with this life-giving water, his life-giving spirit. Our wells often run dry and we're thirsty for something that satisfies. Sometimes there's stuff in our lives that actually needs letting go of. Things that cause us to stray away from God. And Jesus stands there inviting us to come back to him. To let go of the stuff that gets in the way of our friendship with God and allow him to fill us with his life. The question for each of us today is, are we thirsty? Do we, like the psalmist, have a longing in our souls for Christ to be more alive in us? Blessed are the poor, Jesus said, who know their need of God. The first step is recognising that we have a need. Actually, we all have a need for that continual life of Christ in us. The next step is to seek and thirst for it by asking God to fill us with his spirit. That woman realised her need of God. Blessed are those who know their need of God. She realised that asking for Jesus to fill her with that living water, his Holy Spirit, her life could be turned round and brought to life, real life bubbling up. And what's so interesting here is that the effect Jesus had on her affected those in her community, and they came to Jesus to have their thirst quenched. They recognised their need for Jesus' living water, his spirit, to fill their lives. And Jesus' invitation to the woman, to her community, is extended to each one of us. Amen. So let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We come to our prayers of penitence. The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart God will not despise. Let us come to the Lord, who is full of compassion, and acknowledge our transgressions in penitence and faith. We say together, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We come to our intercessions and we pray in the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ. And we offer our prayers to God. In a moment of silence, we bring to God the prayers that we have on our hearts. We offer to God our world, the violence and war in Ukraine, in the Middle East, in parts of Africa, and in other parts of the world. We pray earnestly for peace and justice and an end to evil. And we pray for all those leaders in the world and in our own country, that they may be filled, Lord, with your wisdom to govern wisely and be guided by you in the decisions they make. Give them strength as they hold huge responsibilities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, give us eyes to recognise, as Jesus did at Jacob's well, the true spiritual thirst in the people around us. Help us to respond to those spiritual needs through our worship, our outreach and our social activities. And help us to recognise the need we have in ourselves for your living water. Lord, fill us with that water that brings us alive in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, your Son Jesus crossed territorial boundaries and ignored social taboos throughout his ministry. Give us the courage to make a stand in situations where women in particular have suffered because what should be uncovered is covered up, and where they have been humiliated and downtrodden and dare not tell, and where they have been physically mistreated and cannot tell. We pray for all those agencies who help women, be it in domestic violence situations or oppression or the withdrawal of health and education opportunities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we see in the Samaritan woman someone who has experienced more than one partner. We pray for those we know within our families or communities who are coping with difficult or changing marital relationships. We pray for children caught in a family breakdown with all the worry and upset that it might bring to young and unprepared lives, and for their parents who are struggling to make the right choices for those they love. We pray for all those who work in mediation services. For those who work in social care and involved in arranging for children to be fostered or adopted. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father and Lord of life, we pray for the gift of courage to face up to and cope with illness. We pray for it for ourselves and for those who we now name before you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we commend into your hands those who have departed this life. You gave them breath and loved them through their journey of life. Receive them now at the end of that journey into your eternal presence, and may they rest in everlasting peace. We remember those who have died recently, and those whose anniversary of death occurs at this time, remembering their loved ones and friends. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, in so many ways you have taught us that you alone can be trusted, even when it might seem that you are far away from us. Help us to remember this fact and feel your loving presence as we go from this time of worship and return to our everyday lives, walking obediently in the light of your truth, in all that we do this and every day. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to join with me in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And we come to the peace. since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us access to his grace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. As we prepare to end our worship today, we pray, faithful Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases and whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you and to receive the gifts of your love that are new every morning, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ, give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be among you, with those whom you love, and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.